Well, at least we didn't have to row our boats to get here today. I think we've had enough rain for the next 2 years, but I know more will be coming. Our readings today sort of, we're ending this season of the year, just 6 more weeks before the Feast of Christ the King, the end of the liturgical year. So our readings are sort of, in a sense, preparing us for this decision-making time. First reading we have from the Book of Wisdom. Wisdom exists only in a Greek version, therefore it is not in the Protestant canon. It's probably picked up from the Greek tradition to a great extent, where wisdom is put on above all other qualities. Something Americans find absolutely foreign. After all, we know our importance is what we own. I'm grading papers right now, and I realize wisdom is not in the vocabulary. Then our second reading from Hebrews. Hebrews, because we don't know who wrote it, was rejected by some of the local churches in the first 4 or 5 centuries. And finally, it was part of the corpus, so it was taken over many times in the past. It was attributed to Paul, but Paul's Greek was not that good. It's a rather sophisticated book. The Word of God is like a two-edged sword. If you truly listen to it, you're going to feel uncomfortable. Like I've said so many times, if you start feeling comfortable as a Catholic, most likely you're not listening. Not that we're supposed to be masochists, quite to the contrary. We're always being called upon to do more. And today's gospel brings this out. It's Mark's version, the rich man. Matthew will change this like a rich young man. The theme is still the same. The man who just cannot give up all his material. He has obeyed all the commandments. That's not the point. So we have to look at it and apply it to us because there's more packed in today's gospel because it talks about call no one good except God alone. We have to understand that. So first of all, what is the meaning of this good teacher? The second thing is the choice that every one of us in the United States in this year, 2015, have to make. Do we become our things or are we striving for wisdom? Are we ready to sacrifice something? And finally, we have to ask, well, what is the reward? And again, today's gospel doesn't make it sound very nice. Read it carefully. Good teacher. Jesus rejects it because he said only God is good. One of the things we find it difficult to imagine sometimes is that Jesus was truly human. Not only that, he was a very devout first century Jew, obedient to the Father. So to call him good, Matthew changes it slightly. It just doesn't make it that he's called good, but rather you should do good things. And what happens today is this very primitive version. Mark is the oldest of the Gospels, the one closest to the Hebrew community, Greek-speaking or Aramaic-speaking community, where Jesus is truly human and he knows as a devout Jew, only God can be called good. He's the source of all being. So Jesus, the good Jew, also knows that he's a listener. He also knows that he has a unique relationship with the Father, which he will find difficult to explain at times, because in his humanity, he had to learn like any other person. There have been many heresies over the years, and one of the first ones was he had only the appearance of being truly human. We still fall into that heresy, that somehow or other, he's not like us. Yes, he is. God became a man so that we human beings could become like God. That's at the essence of Christianity. I was joking with David Tracy a little bit last week when he came to give a lecture at the university that I remember having a Jewish student, took all my courses, and he lived in Washington, so I was going up to Georgetown one weekend, and he drove along with me. So we're going along, and he mentioned he really liked Catholics, had a lot of Catholic friends, but I had one problem. I can't accept the Trinity. So it was dark out, and I said, well, I would hope not. There was silence. I said, if you accepted the Trinity, you'd be a Christian. And suddenly he laughed because he realized part of the revelation in Jesus the Christ, if we accept him as the Christ, is that God is the Trinity. You're not going to find it in the Jewish tradition or even the Islamic tradition. But nevertheless, Jesus recognized himself as a unique agent of the Father, and he also recognized with this consciousness that the acceptance of him demands a decision. So what is that decision? My second point, the choice. Wealth now or the kingdom of heaven? Since, as I mentioned, I'm grading papers right now, I've said for several years, it is far easier for the wealthiest man in the history of the cosmos to enter into the kingdom of heaven than to get a UVA student to go to the library. I have to revise my syllabus now because they simply will not go to the library. And I thought, well, what are we going to do with all those books? I've had two people complain, by the way, that several hardback or hard copies of various periodicals have been removed from several libraries around here. Because after all, you can find it online. No, you can't. It only goes online around 2000. So any earlier medical journal, for example, you can't find anymore. You have to request it from storage. Somebody else called me about this last night. My point in this, a choice, wealth now or the kingdom of heaven. The rich man in today's gospel is a good man. He's obeyed all the commandments. And Jesus looks at him with love. Notice it. He already respects him. If you wish to be perfect, then sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Well, that's where the man stops short. He simply can't because he has many possessions. And one of the things is, it's very much like we are today. We become the car we drive, the clothes we wear, the salary we make. I find it very true in this town. Many people are very generous, but nevertheless, there's still this thing of, I know more than you do because I'm wealthier than you are. I've actually had people tell me that. And I find it interesting. And one of the things is, if all of us, of course, sold everything and went to give to the poor, then the church would collapse. That's the other side. But it's how you use things that's important. But as soon as you start putting the emphasis upon the things, and you become the things, then you cannot listen to the Word of God. As I was preparing my homily yesterday, I recalled something and went back and found it on YouTube. The funeral of the Archduke Otto of the Austro-Hungarian Empire 4 years ago, the last real royal family. He lived in exile, by the way, for a while in Alexandria, Virginia, trying to recruit Austrians to fight against the Nazis. One of the things is they followed through with this ceremony. He was in exile from Austria, but they brought his body back. The funeral took place in Stephan's Dome, the cathedral, and then they processed through the streets to the Capuchin Church. When they get there, the doors were slammed, and the processing with the coffin covered with the royal flag, not just the flag of the old Austrian-Hungarian Empire, and one of the maitre d's has a long pole. He stamps, bangs on the door. And he recites this thing that takes 2 minutes. He has this big book. I am the king of Hungary. I am the archduke of this, of Austria. And he goes through all these royal titles he has. It takes 2 minutes. And then they flash to the inside of the church where the Capuchins are lined up. And the head of the Capuchin says, in German, we do not know you. Then the maitre d' comes again. He slams, you know, has his pole. And he goes through the list of titles since World War II. He'd been a member of the European Parliament and so forth. All the things that, these worldly things. And again, the head of the Capuchin says, we do not know you. And finally, a third time, the maitre d' steps forward. And this time, he reads out, I am Otto, a Christian and a very sinful man. With that, they say, we welcome you. It's a good message and very graphic. It's on YouTube, as I said, because it's probably the last really colorful ceremony we're going to see for a while. Sometimes I think we want royalty. But it's getting at the heart of things, and it goes back to the ancient tradition of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, where even the kings were well aware of their frailty. And when the popes used to get crowned with the triple crown, by the way, that stopped in 1963, they were reminded that this too was fleeting, lest it go to their heads. So what is the message for us? Well, we can listen to the words that Peter speaks, or that is spoken to Peter, rather. As you know, I like Peter because he usually doesn't get it. He's a good symbol for 21st century Catholics. He doesn't get the message, but he keeps on trying instead of making himself the norm. We Americans are very good at that. Why doesn't everybody speak English, for example, and reason like we do? I've seen some examples in the last couple of days. Thank God the rest of the world does not reason like some of us. But notice he said, Peter says, we have left all for you. What is our reward? And Jesus said, well, you'll receive back 100-fold. brothers and sisters, houses, riches, everything, with persecutions. That's the zinger that Mark throws in. You're going to receive everything back a hundredfold, but just as I, that Jesus the Christ, was persecuted for doing the will of my Father, so you too will be, if you truly accept these things. You've heard me say many times, Jesus was not a masochist. He did not accept or look for the crucifixion over there. Rather, he sought always to do the will of the Father. And if so, he wasn't going to win a popularity contest. And therefore, if Peter, who left everything, was going to follow him, he would receive back a hundredfold, but including those persecutions. We don't have to look for him. If we stand up for our faith, we will find him. So our readings today are sort of preparing us for the end of this liturgical year. And we have to realize, take seriously the fact that at a given point in human history, the one through whom all things were made, as we'll say in the Creed in a moment, became a creature. Truly a human being with the limitations of being a first century Jew, but his awareness of his relationship to the Father. We are called upon to imitate him. And the choice is that we don't become these worldly things that will fade. We have to be like the Archduke Otto and realize what makes us worthy to enter into the kingdom if we acknowledge our sinfulness and how we've fallen short. Will we get rewards? Yes, but they may not always come in the way in which we want. Many more hundredfold sisters, brothers, houses, but also the persecutions that may go with answering the word of God.